Lord. Happy to be out this evening. What a wonderful privilege. Amen. Let's all stand if you will. Can we sing that little chorus, "The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you"? Amen. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all my frustration, I need precious Heavenly Father, we gather this evening, Lord, in your precious holy name. And Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to gather. It's such a privilege. Lord, we're so thankful for the desire, Lord, to gather into your precious little place you provided for us. Lord, we never want to take for granted all the things you've done for us, all the things you do for us. And Lord, we just appreciate gathering around your word this evening. Lord, we ask you to feed us. Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, we'll sit here, Lord, intently and listen. And Lord, sing these few songs back to you. Lord, we just ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done in this service. We'll be sure to give you all the glory and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus again. The only real peace that I have, dear turn to page 8 in our little capstone books. I know we sing this little chorus a lot, but amen, it's a true meaning in our lives. You are my all in all. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Taking my cross, my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. Amen. Think about these words. Amen. You are my all in all. We've all been here. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill me up. Amen. So thankful for them times he's touched me, lifted me up. Because you are my all in all. Amen. You feel that way?
Yes.
Amen. What a blessing it is to know the one true God in him. Amen. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 294. She was actually playing this song before church, and I was thinking about this the other day. Amen.
Too many miles behind me. Treasures are waiting on.
climb the mountain. Amen. Sometimes there's big mountains in this life, but I'm so thankful we know the one who can help us. Amen. And lead us and guide us. And I just appreciate him so very much. Amen. He's done so much. I can't even think about it all. You have to sit down and really ponder and write it down, and you'll still never get it. The little things he's helped you through, the little trials. Amen. The little bumps in the road he's helped you go over. And I appreciate it with all my heart. I thank him every day for what he's done for me. Amen.
Yes.
Appreciate him so much. Amen. Dad, would you mind taking the offering up to him?
Hallelujah.
He's so good. Amen. So good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to come to you with our needs. Lord, you know what they are even before we ask. Lord, we just appreciate you with all our hearts, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, all you mean to us. Lord, everything in our lives, Lord, we know it's under control by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's the way we want it to be. We don't want to walk without you. We don't want to talk without you, Lord. Lord, in this life, Lord, we have needs. Lord, we just lift them up before you this night, Lord, knowing that you know all about them. Lord, you know each and every heart. We appreciate everything you've done for us, Lord. We just ask you to take care of it according to your will.
Yes.
Lord, we appreciate what you've done for Heidi, Lord. Lord, you just kept your hand upon her. Lord, I believe with all my heart, Lord, you had that hand on that surgeon's hand, guiding and leading. Lord, it's made such a difference. Lord, we appreciate it. Lord, Brother Settles, I'm here and had a good, successful surgery today. Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless him, Lord, and be with him. Lord, just bless his life richly, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, and everyone that has a need here tonight, Lord, you know all about it. Lord, the ones that can't be here, Lord, we ask you to keep your hand of protection upon them. Lord, just reach down and touch their hearts, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. Just be with them, comfort them, keep them, and guide them. Lord, we just appreciate all you've done for us, Lord. We don't ever want to take it for granted, Lord. It's been on my heart. Never take for granted all you've done, Lord, because we can forget as humans, Lord, these little things. Lord, that constantly you do in our lives, and you're constantly there watching and leading and guiding, and we're so appreciative, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to have your complete preeminence in the remainder of this service. And, Lord, more important than anything in this life, Lord, is revelation of thy precious word. We ask you to bless it each and every heart tonight, Lord. And just bless the speaker. Make it easy for him. And just have your complete will in the rest of this service. We'll give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So good to know a living God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We ask your sisters have a song. We ask you to come.
Amen.
Let's all stand at this time. Ask our brother to come deliver what the Lord's laid upon his heart.
Yes.
Amen. May our hearts be open and feed.
Yes.
Each and every time we come, we receive strength. Amen. It's such a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus Leading the Way.
Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by
happy to be out this evening. Amen. I pray each one of us are very thankful for the opportunity we've got. And you know, we gather here this evening, and as any time we gather, you know, we'd much rather hear our pastor speak. But as we gather around God's precious word, you know, sometimes it may be the simplest thing. And it might just be a few scriptures, and it might be just a couple small quotes that we've heard many times. But God knows a time and a season for everything. And you know, if we come with the right expectations, we might get a little nugget that'll just be enough boost to give me what I need to press on and to get through what maybe I'm enduring at this moment. But oh, I come each time with great expectations. And our prophet told us, you get what you come expecting. And may we come each time with great expectations for what God can give to me. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Gracious Lord, we truly are so thankful. Lord, just to be able to come and together with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, to lift up your name and to worship you for all that you've done for us and what you've provided for us, Lord, in this great hour in which we live. And Lord, we just humbly come tonight asking that these few words you have laid upon my heart, that Lord, some way it will stir our hearts and help us in the way that's needed, and help me, Lord, to get out of the way and just bring these few things, Lord, though as simple as they may be, that it would just be what you would want spoke, Lord, that it could help us in our walk with you. We ask your blessings upon your word and upon our hearts, Lord, to hear these few little things, and just asking, Lord, that you would use it to your glory and to your honor, and we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory for it. In the precious name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, he's so wonderful.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Amen. I apologize. Just thank the Lord. It's been a little bit of a big baby this afternoon. Amen. Very simple little subject, but praying that God will use it to stir our hearts a little bit. But here in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we'll start here at the first verse. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Go. And show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. What a time. Here is John sitting in prison. And realize he came preaching.
Yes.
Make straight the way, for there's one coming.
Amen.
Who's coming with a fan in his hand, and he shall surely purge your floors. And oh my, as we see John come with that great message, and being sent and preaching, and then baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan, and then going to prison and sitting there and thinking, Brother Branham expressed it in the fact that John was maybe looking a little more for Jesus to come on the scene, kind of like him, being a forceful preacher and going at it. But God sent him in a humble way, in a different, little different type of Messiah than what they were looking for, so to speak. And Brother Branham kind of, he typed it like this in the message, Perseverance. It's just a quick quote. And he said that, preached May 20th, 1962. He said, one day in Matthew 11:6, we read a little sermon. I might have preached it around here. Let me drop down. He said, but when he come on the scene, it was different. Okay, he said, because John was worried. His ministry had been saying, there's coming one whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge your floors. He will take the wheat to the garner, and he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh my, what a Messiah coming. And when he come on the scene, it was different. A little humble man with no cooperation from any of the sects around there. And the sect was different. His preaching was different. He was pushed around from place to place, running here, running there, so that it seemed kind of strange. And they couldn't understand it. Why, surely I preached it, and they all ought to believe it. And here when he comes, my, looks like I'm let down. And Jesus didn't tell them, now I'm going to give you a book on how to behave yourself in prison, and I want to give it to John. He just said, stay till this service is over, and just wait till the afternoon service is finished. And then that the lame was walked and the blind seen, great miracles was taking place. He said, go show John these things and tell him I'm right on time and there's nothing wrong. I'm right exactly on time. And that's the way God is today. He's just exactly on time. All of our stewing and worrying will do nothing. Just be perseverant with the word of God and move on. God's right on time. Be perfectly, just exactly like all things, the sun, the moon, and everything, that God has to work on time. And as we stand here in this day in which we're living, each one of us are facing different circumstances in life. And God knows exactly where we're standing tonight. You know, some of us might be facing mighty big mountains and mighty great trials and tests of life are looming ahead of us. And Satan is trying all he can to deter us as we get closer and closer to home. But God laid forth the pathway, and he's always right on time. And he's given us exactly what we need, if we'll just look to that answer that he's provided. But you know, as we go through life, sometimes we look at these situations that are happening around us, and maybe we get a little discouraged. Oh, why is this happening to me? I thought God loved me. I thought this, and I'm doing my best to serve him. Why is this happening in my life? And sometimes these great things happen all around us. But the scripture is full of examples of what God's people has went through from the cover to cover. And how God has used every example in this Bible to show us his great power. He's not forgotten about us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He told us the footsteps of the righteous were ordained of God. And our pastor just renewed our minds to it Sunday. He knew the step you would take before you took it. And how, let these things sink in and become real in your heart. You know, we hear these things. And sometimes we just accept it and say, oh, yep, I've heard that. But if we could just one time come through these precious doors and sit down in here like I had never heard one thing God had ever spoke through that precious prophet. If I could sit here with the attitude that I've never heard one of these scriptures and take it as if I was hearing it for the first time and let God open and crying out, Lord, reveal to me this precious word, how much greater it would become illuminated to us. But you know, oftentimes we hear it and it gets read and it just kind of passes over us sometimes. And the excitement that ought to be in our hearts, is even as our pastor was expressing the thing Sunday, how that should make our hearts glow. And how it ought to make a joyous amen escape from our lips. And what a smile it ought to put on our face. And a joy it ought to place down inside our hearts too. And it should be expressed outwardly. It's not something you're putting on, but if the joy is down inside of there, you can't help it. It just makes that joyous time in the Lord. It's a praise. It just escapes from our lips. But sometimes we hear these things and it's just our reaction is not as joyous as maybe it ought to be. When we realize what God has done for us. And well, I'm going to turn here to the book of John, if you want to turn with me to John, the 9th chapter. Amen. Read a little situation that happened here. Just and knowing Jesus knew all things. I just like how he expressed some of these things here in the book of John. Like I said, very simple. But we just let God take it and place it into our hearts that he's in control. And God knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
This precious word that's coming for us right on time. Just like he said, Jesus said to him, right on time. I'm never late. I know what I'm doing, John. I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. You just believe. You go tell him. The lame's walking. What did the scripture say he would come doing? And who would he be? And is he here?
Amen.
Oh, John had his assurance then. Amen. If he could just focus his attention back to the word. To what Malachi said. Oh, my. I'll raise up a prophet. Oh, my. Boy, I'm sure John was having him a shouting time in that old prison cell. He knew his days were finished. But, oh, my, he could see. Oh, the time had arrived. And what a joy that had to have brought to his heart. Jesus here in the 9th chapter of the book of John, a little situation, he said, and Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And oh my, what a terrible thing to be blind from your birth and not be able to see when you've had your eyesight. Oh, what a precious thing God give us, and how we should be so thankful for any of these little things that we are have our eyesight. But we see this man being born blind, never having saw. And his disciples ask him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And just look at that attitude that was in the people at that time. Because he was born blind, there had to be a reason. It was somebody's fault that that situation was there. But listen what Jesus said. He said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That man was born blind for the very purpose.
Amen.
That before the foundation of the world, God knew where he would be and where Jesus Christ would walk by and meet him that day. Do you think about that? Here we sit tonight. Nothing's happening by chance. Nothing that's happening in my life, your life, whatever happened today, what may happen tomorrow. God is already in control. He knows where it's going and what's being headed there. And you may look at your life. You may sit here tonight and say, I'd sure like to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I don't have it. But God is looking down in your heart, and he knows if you're truly want that and if you're truly seeking it. And he knows if you was predestinated to receive it. He knows when you're going to call out for it, and he knows when he's going to give that to you. But you know, God's looking at our desire. He knows our desires. He knows our hearts. Our brother did a wonderful job bringing that to our attention Sunday. But I want you just to think about this man. Is here he is. Jesus said he was not neither, but he was raised up that the manifestation for God might be manifested, made alive and real. And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Oh my, think of this. God who created the heavens and the earth. He could have reached out and just said, receive your sight. And there would have been brand new eyes right there they could have seen. But just think of what God did. He reached down and spit on the ground and made clay and mud. And put it on his eyes. Listen to the scriptures of what God did. And he said, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. What did he look at? He followed the instructions that he was given. He never hesitated. He never questioned that. But you don't look at that predestinated seed that was laying in there. There wasn't no balking against it. Well, who is this man that he would put clay on my eyes and tell me to go wash in this water? Well, there he went. Followed the instructions from the Lord. Or followed the word of the Lord, if you would so see it that way. And he said, and he came seeing. And the neighbors therefore, and they which were before seeing him, that it was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said it is he. Others said he is like him. But he said, I am he. And therefore, he said, and therefore they said unto him, how is it that thine eyes are open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. What you think of that? Amen. The simplest example of what was happening. And Jesus setting us up to realize, to follow the word. Follow the instructions that are handed out. Amen. And follow it to the letter. Amen. And watch the results of that promise come into play. Amen. Every time that it's ever been that Jesus spoke a word, or one of his messengers ever spoke a word through this Bible, take the little lady with Elijah told her to go make a cake. Look at God's word. She followed the instructions of the Lord and watched God move on the scene. And right down the line, the promise came to pass. Just like the word of the Lord said it would be. And how we can, if we can get ourselves out of the way and truly focus ourselves to God's word and to pay attention to the instructions that the Lord has given us and to believe it with all of our heart. And to follow it, not because my brother is, not because my sister is, or my mom, my dad, but because the Lord has spoke to my heart and said, this must you do. And oh, when you see that reality that it's to you, oh, there's nothing can hold you back. You know you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to see it bring the results that this scripture said it would bring. And how we see that with healing, we can see that with all this precious word. Jesus said he was coming back for a bride that was going to be without spot or wrinkle. And he sent a messenger before that great and dreadful day of the Lord that would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Yeah. And oh, how they would be right in tune and right in line. That word is happening right on time and right in tune with what God said it would be. As human beings, we may look around and see things and we may think, oh, what about this and what about that? But God said he knew the end from the beginning, and he put it right on time. He knows exactly what message to lay on our pastor's heart here that's getting you and I ready, because this is where we come to feed on the word of God. And he's using our pastor the same as he's using other pastors wherever they would be around the world, feeding that little elect to make sure that they're coming to the maturity and the unity of the faith, rising up to that point that God will do whatever he will do with us before that final catching away moment. He's going to get his glorification because we were raised up for this purpose in this age, that we would be a light that would be shining and an example, that he would be manifested, vindicated sons and daughters of God, vindicating that his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, even in this age. And by God's grace, if you can see that you've been called to that, you felt that drawing. We've come to this place. Well, how our heart should be assured. Trials arise and we maybe start to, what about this? What old age is stilling on? We see these things that are all turning around us and we are all growing older as we keep going. And we look at this and each one of us, maybe some of you started out being a younger than I am, serving the Lord and realizing that preaching the Lord is coming and believing that he's coming. And now we've grown old and time is marching on. And time seems to close in on us. And all these troubles and trials and old age stills on. And the aches and the pains that comes with it. Or being young, life is happening. And jobs and all that's going around us. But through that all, Jesus Christ predestinated a people to be conformed to his image. And to be raised up in his stature. And oh my, by God's grace, we're living in that time. And there's nothing can stand in the way of God's word being fulfilled 100%. And how we should take consolation in that and really look back into God's word. When I begin to feel a little faint, how I should run to this. This is the strength, that ever-present help in the time of trouble. This is that peace that passes all understanding. It's laying right here. And refresh my mind. Oh, he said, just be strong in the Lord. Oh, how we can hold our anchor fast in this precious word of Jesus Christ. And oh, how it'll stir your heart, saints. Amen. Here in, this was in the message, letting off pressure. And just a little thing that was happening here, but Brother Branham made note of this, and this is May 13th, 62, paragraph 145. And we've heard this, it's been read many times, but he said, as the story of Charles Wesley, on his retreat down by the seaside one day, he had a little shack and he was studying. And the Lord led him down there and he was studying, and Oh God was moving on him for a song. And he couldn't get nothing to start on. He would start on something and the inspiration would leave him. So he went walking down along the seashore, listening at the waves. And though he would thought he could find some inspiration, the waves lapping, and all at once a storm came up. And Brother Branham says, nothing happens by chance. Everything is ordained of God. No matter what happens, all things are going to work together for good. And from that storm, as he started towards his cabin, the winds got to blowing. He thought, oh, I'll be blown off of this shore before I get there. And he pulled up his coat, started to run, and something flew in his bosom. And he looked back, and it was a little sparrow come for refuge. And he just held it in his bosom until the storm was over and the sun come out. And he set that little fellow up on his finger and let him fly away. And as he flew away, the inspiration struck him. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Look how God moves right on time. And you know, you can go back and look at the prophet as the examples as he left, as being out in the woods and inspiration striking to bring a message, or to go here and say this, or to go this place. And as we see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life, how it so it should be with us. That it's leading us and guiding us daily. And how we should be seeking that in prayer as we search and cry out for God to give us a greater consecrated life to that prayer life, that seriousness of focusing to this time for which we've been sent, the purpose for which we've been sent, to see God made manifest in this late hour, and that every word, every promise in this book that belongs to me, God would have an opportunity to see it made manifest. As our brother said, some of us sit here with diabetes. Some of us sit here with high blood pressure. Some of us might have something else broken. Another financial problem looming way in the distance. Something that's bigger than we are. But it doesn't matter. All these things are happening. As we go through these things, God is being glorified. That there is a people that can walk through this life and not be deterred by all the things that's around us, but keep their eyes and their soul focus on Him, and Him be their first love through this whole life that we're traveling. But oh my, Jesus was just so calm as He walked through these tests and these things that happened in life that He left for us, these examples. There was a reason they were written down on these pages for us to go back. Amen. Here in the John chapter, let's go here to John chapter 11. Another situation. Amen. Now a certain, 11, the first verse. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, and in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And oh my, what a sermon that is in itself. I was listening to the message, Jesus keeps all of his appointments. And listening to Brother Branham dramatize that little situation of Simon sending a messenger to tell Jesus to come. He wanted him to come dine with him. And how that, as Brother Branham, being led by the Holy Spirit, just took that little situation and began to make a drama out of it to catch the attention of people. But how that runner ran up to Jesus to deliver a message from somebody he thought was really important and stood in the very presence of Jesus and never asked him for anything, never asked him to forgive his sins, never recognized where he was standing. And how each time as we come in here, as it caught my attention, do we recognize just how great His presence is when we gather here? As each one of us has brought a portion of Him with us, and He told us where two or three are together in our midst, there I would be. The one day we're going to see Him face to face. And right now we feel His presence. We feel it as the words coming forth. We feel that churning in our hearts, that burning within us, that growing, that churning, that drawing. How great it is and how precious. And oh, how we should cherish the moments that we have here each time with precious brothers and sisters. As we know the day may come, we may not have that opportunity to gather in here with the freedoms that we have.
But oh, that we should lavish it and take it into our hearts as much as we can while we have the opportunity to enjoy. Oh my. As he goes here, it's sorry to get off track. He says, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, and just think of this, the disciples had walked with him this long. And listen as Jesus tells them, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? And look how they look at life. They were the fear that was in them at this point. And they're just focused on the troubles. And Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he is asleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I like how he declared it to them. He's dead. That body is dead. It's in the grave. Oh my. And he said, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, we may die with him. Just that negative attitude always. And look at that. This, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. And there was that negative attitude. Thomas was always doubting. He was there just, oh, let us go that we may die with him. Never seeing the positive after all they had seen Jesus do. And all that they had seen him bring them through and all the things he had told them. And to still doubt him that he knew what he was doing. And sometimes we get that attitude that we forget that God knows what he's doing. He knows exactly where he's headed. He knows exactly where he's leading us and where our steps are going. We've got to learn to trust him greater and to follow him without hesitation. And to move when he wants us to move with him. Then Jesus came and he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And what a consolation we ought to have in our hearts tonight. If this body be dissolved, I already have one waiting prepared for me. And what a joy that ought to give us, and a consolation that no matter what we face in life. You know, I was driving down the road today and you see all kinds of crazy drivers. And I was just thinking of that, and how the Lord took Brother Branham in an automobile accident. And how that just seems so terrible. And as human beings, we look upon that and we do see that. And if you can just imagine if you got the call that your son or your daughter was in an accident and how that would tear the heart out of your dad or whatever, and how we see that we're human beings, we realize these things are happening. But I'm sure that Brother Branham, when that was happening, there was peace in his heart. He knew exactly what he was doing, what God was doing inside him, even though maybe he couldn't talk. That still small voice, the real him down on the inside, knew exactly what was going on, and I'm sure God was giving him peace through it all. I never experienced those things, but can you imagine that he wrote this book and left it for us behind to show us that in all situations we can have that comfort. We can have that peace.
We might go through many things, and some of us may go through worse things than others. But he's there too. He's the great peace giver, the great comforter in every situation. And oh my, don't matter what life brings at us, just remember, he's in control of every situation. No matter how bad it may look from our view, we must always remember God knows exactly what he's doing and when he's doing it and what's going to happen and take place. And we must always remember to lean upon him and not our own human understanding that why is this happening? Why is this going on? But remember to find the peace in knowing that we serve the one that knows that end from the beginning. And he set all things in motion. He knows the day I was born. He knows the day I'm leaving this earth. And he knows everything that's happening in between. And oh my, if I can find the consolation of knowing that I rest in his hand without a shadow of a doubt. What a joy. What a peace. What a love it ought to cause in our hearts for him.
And he says, but whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. And she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, saying, the master is come and call us for thee.
And we know the rest of how Jesus went to the grave. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And how Brother Branham said God had already showed him. Even though they called for him, he tarried 2 days more. He knew. He was waiting. He was in tune with the Spirit. And he knew exactly. God had all, Brother Branham said, the Lord must have, God, the Father showed him in a vision that Lazarus was going to raise from the dead. Oh my, what a beautiful type as we see this precious word showing forth how it ought to stir our hearts to a great confirmation and a great consolation in the precious word that God, what he said is the truth. And believe it with all of our hearts. Don't wonder, can it really happen like that? Can I really have that peace? Can I really be healed? Can I really have what I pray and ask for? Can I really receive it? Absolutely, if we come God's provided way and in tune with what the Word said we should be doing, you can watch it work exactly the way God wants it to work. 100%. Amen. But God is always on time. He's never late. And it'll work exactly like it should if we are in tune with what he wants to do. This was in the message proving his word, preached August 1664. He says, in paragraph 70, but in the face of all these doubting ages and things we've went through and live in today, worst of all, in the face of this doubt, God does go right on proving his words to be right as he has in every age. Unbelief doesn't stop God. It doesn't hinder him. I don't care how much the world unbelieves. It's still going to happen. Unbelief doesn't do nothing but condemns the unbeliever. And the unbelief will send the unbeliever to hell. It'll rob him of every blessing God promised to him. But it doesn't hinder God from going right on with the believer. See, unbelief don't stop God. It only stops the unbeliever. And you say, the sun ain't going to shine tomorrow. I'm going to stop it. You try it. All right, you can't do it. God set it in order, said it would shine. It's going to shine, that's all. He said, might be some clouds under it, but he's still shining just the same, and you can't stop God with that. How does he make his word known to the people? First, God knowing that there would be unbelievers. Now watch the wisdom of God. Knowing there would be unbelievers and how the majority would be unbelievers. Oh, may we find ourselves in the minority that truly believe what God said through that prophet's lips and through these precious scriptures. That God is more than able to perform exactly what he's promised. He said, by foreknowledge, he predestinated a seed for every age that would believe it. And if you'll notice there, for each age goes right on with his word, everything right on time. Nothing hinders God. He goes right on and every click is moving just exactly right. We think sometimes it's not going to work right, but don't you worry. His clock is timed just exactly to the split instant. And everything's going to work just exactly right. Amen. And oh my, if we would just take and push our faith in what God has told us and promises and march on with it. Don't doubt him. Don't look back. But take what God said and hold it to your heart and move forward with it, whatever word it would be. And follow it to the letter and watch God manifest and vindicate exactly that it's the truth and what it'll bring, the results that he said it would. But oh my, saints, we're living in a wonderful time. A time when all of the word is being fulfilled. The time when this people is coming into the fullness
of the image of Christ, and how it should be stirring our hearts greater and with great consolation that what He says He will do, He will do. And all every promise in that book belongs to me and to you if we find we're lining up with what He said we would be in this time and place, and realize that I am one of those predestinated seeds that He sent here for this age. Oh, what it ought to stir our hearts to know that He knows exactly where I'm standing tonight. And all the joy it ought to bring to my heart to see the reality of what's happening around us. You sisters can come to the instruments. Here in the message, the hour is come. And Brother Branham dramatized this, and this is where the Hebrew children was fixing to go into the fiery furnace. I know we've all heard it. But I want you to notice, as the Brother Branham was putting this in there, that God knows your situations. And He's just watching and looking to see if you're going to take Him at His word. Yes, you know, sometimes we get hindering Him. Not hindering Him, but we hinder ourselves as we maybe won't take Him at His word. We hold back a little bit. We draw back. We don't know for sure if God's really going to do what He said He would do for us. But oh my, these three boys, they knew exactly that. They didn't know what He was going to do, but they were believing that they weren't going to do nothing but what He had told them to do in His word to them. But here, this was preached in 51, April 15th, 51. And about paragraph 23, well, just to save some time as we're getting close here, he says, "But they got right up to the steps, about one step, and they began to feel fainty, like they was going in a few minutes. And I can see the guards with their spear ready to push them over into that fiery furnace that was hit seven times hotter than it ever was heated." Notice, we're painting an awful dark picture here, but let's turn our camera this way once. Always when there's anything going on down here, there's something going on up there also. There's always two sides to it. You know, when Satan's on the job, Jesus is also. Ever who you yield your faith to, that's the way it's going. Give it to Christ. Let's look up this way. You know, I can see Him sitting up there in His majesty in His priestly robes draped around Him looking down. And I can see coming to His right a great angel, and His name's Gabriel, great archangel. And He comes running up and pulls His sword. And He says, "Master, you've looked down in Babylon. Your people's taking a stand for you down there. The hour has come for them to stand. And they're taking a stand. But that bunch of people there is going to push them into that fiery furnace. Let me go down there and I'll clean that up." He said, I believe He could have done it. And all the excitement that was in Brother Branham's voice as he was dramatizing this and bringing it to the people to try to get their attention to something, to focus to it. And he says, He could have done it. Yes, sir, He will give angels charge over these. And I believe the angels of God are encamped about those who fear Him. And I can hear Gabriel say, I'll go down there. I'll strike Babylon off the map if you'll let me go down there. Have you considered them? And I can hear the master say, yes, Gabriel, you're a wonderful angel. You've obeyed me and set my right hand ever since the day I created you, but I can't let you go, just let you go. Then I see coming this way another angel. You know, God's got angels in heaven at His command. I can see another one coming up. Look at him. He rushes up. He's called Wormwood, and he falls down, and he has controls of all the waters. And I can hear him say, Master, down in Babylon, your children has took a stand, and they're going to throw them into the fiery furnace this morning, and they're almost there. And I've stood by your side since you created me, and I have the controls of the water in this antediluvian destruction. I broke up the springs of the deep, and I swept over the earth and destroyed the whole world with water. Let me go down there this morning, and I'll wash her off the face of the earth. I believe he could have done it. I hear him say, can't let you go. You've been a good angel, but I can't let you go. He says, yes, all night long, I've been watching them. Brother, his eye is on the sparrow. Listen to him. He's watching you right now. That all-seeing eye is watching us. Amen. Every move we're making, He's watching to see where our stand is on this precious word tonight. Yes. He knows in our hearts if we truly have a longing to be exactly what He wants us to be. He knows if that longing's burning fresh and hot in our hearts. He's watching as this word's presented. He's watching to see what our stand's going to be on it. To see if our hearts are diligently reaching out to Him. Lord, I'm taking and placing my faith in You for this situation. For whatever You've promised, Lord, I want to see it come to pass in my life just the way You said it would. He said, I've watched them all night long, and I've heard every prayer they prayed. You angels has been good angels, but I can't let you go, for I'm going myself. And I can see him rise up from his seat, and his priestly robes draped around him, and come here and say, come here, east wind, west wind, north and south. Everything obeys him. By him all things consist. But I want you to think about that. His brother Bram was drummed out. He reached down and grabbed the wind and grabbed a bolt of zigzag lightning. God controls everything for one purpose, for you, the purpose for which he sent you here for, to see that all things are working together for your good, that it might bring glory and honor back to him through the manifestation of his word through each one of us in this last age. What a consolation it ought to give us to know that he's watching every move we're making. And how it ought to give us an excitement to make sure that every move we're making is lining up 100% with that precious word that he's given us. And all one of these days, we're going to take that final step and lay this old body down and change robes. Oh, my, and may it'll be fully finished. Oh, may we be longing and hungering. For Lord, give us the revelation that it will take to this body to make that final change. We would see the fullness of this word manifested and vindicated in our lives in every action. Declare Jesus Christ to this nation and to this people. Oh, may it be burning in our hearts, saints. But remember, he knows all about it. Amen. And it's all will work out in its time. But give God the glory first. Place him first. And follow that word no matter what. And let God take care of the rest. And he'll line it up. Might be not the way we wanted it to go, maybe. May show up a little different. But if we'll let him have his way, it will bring glory to his name. And that's why we're here. Amen. To see him magnified and glorified. Oh, man, let's all stand if you would. Oh, pray a little something was said. Amen. To stir our hearts. But oh, my, we're on the road, saints. Amen. By God's grace, don't get discouraged. Don't sit down. But oh, the Holy Spirit is here. He's here in the fullness to give you whatever you want. And if we get what we put into a service, what are we come expecting? Do we just come expecting to be an old formal church and to sit here all the time? But do we come with that expectation, Lord, what are you going to reveal to me today? That, oh, not that I would just get up and run around and shout or do something just for the works of the flesh to be expressed. But that coming from the inside, as Brother Branham expressed, being up there running around and around a tree when God would lay something on his heart. Oh my, what an exubilation it ought to put in us. I don't even know if that's a word, but oh my, it ought to excite our hearts. Amen. Glory to his name. Let's sing that little chorus. He's the great emancipator. Amen. Oh, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed. Oh, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be his holy
of sin. But the great emancipator, amen, set me free to worship him, amen. Oh, singing glory, amen. I've been predestinated, oh, to worship him, amen. Blessed be his holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed. Oh, life.
Thinking about many things he said there, and just to refresh your mind back to it too, you know, because you know many are going through trials and tests, and we run into those times in life where things get a little rough and the mountains may seem a little high and the valleys may seem a little low, but always remember God also in his word has always left an example that we have never went through what many has already went through. And God delivered them again. Amen. So always remember that, because I'm telling you, I sit around and think about that many times. You know, I think about what those old, solid old warriors went through many times in life, you know, and the tests and trials they went through, and things, you know, just thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, facing that fire. You know, we've never faced anything like that. We've never faced anything like Daniel did in the lion's den. We haven't faced many of these things these men have faced in life. So don't think that your trial and test is impossible, because all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. And God is the solver of all problems. Amen. So we appreciate the word of God tonight. May it sink deep into our hearts and be able to apply all these things in our life daily. Amen. And may we die daily and let Jesus Christ live. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we're so appreciative that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to be gathered in this little building tonight and to, Lord, stand around and worship you and praise you and to gather around the Word of God. And Father, we take these words constantly and measure ourselves up by it. And not only in the services, Lord, but every day we rise out of bed, we begin to measure ourselves up by the Word of God. We read the Scriptures. We read the things the prophet said, or maybe listen to it. And Father, it's a constant, every day, every moment thing in our life, because we want to make sure everything's just the way you want it to be. And that's the desire, Lord, through mercy and grace you've placed in our hearts, that, Father, we would serve you and give our life to you. And Lord, search for that deeper place in Christ. And knowing, Lord, as the prophet said, and we've mentioned it many times, and he mentioned it different times throughout his ministry, about that deep call into the deep. We're so thankful for that, Lord. Where would we be if we didn't have that something on the inside pulling and drawing to us? And we are so thankful for that. and pray now that you'll just go with us and watch over us again, and asking once more, just keep us safe. And Lord, our brother, Lord, as he drives also again so far as he has, and Lord, just watch over him, keep everything safe for him. And Lord, again, we will come back if you should tarry, and if we live, and be thy great will, Lord, we will gather again around your precious word this Sunday. So help us to do so now. We ask in your most glorious name that all these things be to your glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, don't you love him? Amen. Just so sweet and so precious. Amen. May God richly bless you now and keep you.